So welcome everyone. Yeah, it's so different being out in the open instead of a little studio box with nobody watching, but we're going to try this. I'm Wendy Edwards. This is the Wendy Edwards Show, broadcasting live from the Scottsville Farmers Market, where it's raining on all the equipment we have for our musicians, and hopefully it's not going to do too much damage. Freddie, right. Are you nervous?
No, I think the rain's, you know, it's falling off, so look like we're in good shape.
All right, I hope so.
Yeah.
Freddie Jackson is here. He is from Buckingham, Virginia. He's going to perform a couple of songs for us a little bit later in the podcast. First, I had you come out here because this is a special visit. You're here for your birthday to see your family.
Right.
I know you don't live in the area anymore.
No, I don't.
Tell us where you're at.
I'm currently in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
Yes.
And you are on tour with your music as well, right?
Uh-huh.
You go all over the country?
Yeah, you know, I just try to book gigs, you know, as best and close as I can as I'm traveling back and forth, and just basically get my music out there and get it heard, so.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely getting heard here in Scottsville.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll help to grow your name and your label.
Mm-hmm.
You produce all your music yourself.
Most of it. I have a couple of guys that I work with. We kind of trade off on music. I appear on their album. They appear on mine. So we kind of trade off and help each other and promote each other as
Anybody want to mention now?
It's a guy by the name of Sean Original. He's from New York. If you get my CD and you look on the credits on the back, he's a one particular guy that I always work with. He's a great producer. We always trade off a couple of tracks. So, you know, like I said, he's great to work with. And we just hit it off from the beginning. So we'll always have that relationship as far as recording the music and whatnot. So,
how long have you known each other for?
I only met him once.
Really?
I only met him once. I met him once in New York about 6 years ago. And, you know, the communication has just been over the phone, via internet, and whatnot, so. But we keep it close, we keep it real close. So.
Isn't it amazing we live in a day and age where a musician can be, you know, thousands of miles away from mm-hmm. somebody else who's working on the same project?
Yeah, you gotta take advantage of it. I mean, internet technology is out there for you, you just have to use it to your advantage.
What kinds of things do you use to make your music?
I mean, I have keyboards, I have workstations. When I say workstations, you know, a workstation can produce music, it can record vocals. So with my workstations and my keyboards, I kind of produce the music that I kind of want to hear, and I think the people, you know, wants to hear.
Yeah.
So I just go from there, and sometimes I write the song before I make the music. Sometimes I make the music before I write the song.
Now, is your workstation, does that consist of mainly your laptop and then some instruments, or?
No, it consists mainly of, it's like a standalone unit, and
okay.
you can produce music, you can make music, you can start off with actual rhythms and patterns and beats. You can, with the keyboard, you can add music, you can sample music. I can sample my voice. It's like unlimited. And then, you know, you mix it down, you master it, you add your vocals and you write to it, and voila, you have a song.
Voila, as if it's that simple.
Your music
is not very simple. It's smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lasting.
Okay.
And I find it easy to enjoy. Your music is complex at the same mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. You have layers upon layers upon layers of stuff in your songs.
Right.
And I can tell that you must be using several tracks to put it all together.
Yeah, I mean, it's a process. I mean, you know, it's not, I don't want to say it's difficult, because I enjoy doing it, you know. So, I mean, I could spend 23 hours out of a 24-hour day just messing with one song.
Unfortunately, so. You're not able to do that yet. You're still working full time.
Yeah, I am. I am working full time.
And I happen to love what you do for a living. Can mm-hmm. you share that?
I'm a case manager for a company out in Pittsburgh. It's called Three Rivers Youth.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we work with at-risk and troubled kids. I particularly work with girls, teenagers. Basically, they come to us and we try to get them back home or in a safer situation. You know, it might be with a guardian, it might be in another placement, another group home. But whatever that safe situation is, we just try to work and strive and get them back there and make their life kind of, you know, normal as possible.
Yeah. Do the two worlds ever come together?
When I worked with the boys, it was a lot easier because I'm very active. I like to work out a lot, so I can take the boys out to the park, to the gym. You know, we can play. You know, boys are boys. So, and we've actually recorded a couple of songs together.
You have?
Yeah, we have.
Are we going to hear any of that today?
Not those ones.
No.
Okay. I have to work on their language, you know. they're kind of foul at the mouth, so we're still working on that one.
All right. But as far as your language, I noticed your songs are pretty clean.
And yeah, they're pretty clean.
You're not afraid to write about things that are important to you, like family and mm-hmm. God?
No, not at all. I just look at it, you know, as life. You know, you got to write life. I don't necessarily try to sit down and write a song. I just kind of write what's on my mind, what I'm going through, things I've been through, experiences. And it just happens to come out in song format, so.
I wanted to get into some songs that I love off of your CD, like mm-hmm. the one about your grandmother.
Okay. That was an easy song to write. I probably have like 20 songs for her. She's a very loving woman, always giving. So it was easy to write about her. It's just, you know, a song just appreciating what she has, the lessons she's taught me. I don't know, it's real simple to me. It's easy to write those type of songs because it's so heartfelt. And it's just, when I write it, it's just, I can write for pages and pages and pages. Then I actually pick what I want to say.
So it just comes out naturally
for
you?
Yeah, it just comes out. Like, I just tell stories. The memories that I have, I go off of those, and voila.
You have one song that reflects on your time in Buckingham mm-hmm. And hanging out with your friends and your family and
what's
backyard
that?
Barbecues and stuff like that.
I probably say that a lot because I like to eat.
Hennessy is part of that one.
Oh, the Hennessy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a song about just coming together, you know. And actually, the Hennessy pancakes and G2 is like just some things that I love.
It's a feel-good song, though. Yeah, it's got a good rhythm.
Right, and that's what it's about. It's about people coming together, enjoying themselves, just hanging out and vibing with each other and enjoying, like, the experience of being together. That's what it's actually about. I took the song and I kind of, you know, flipped it and gave it that title of the Hennessy Pancakes and G2 because those were just some fun things that I really do enjoy those things, but it was just a fun way to flip it. And, you know, the kids today, like, and the music, they want something catchy.
Yeah.
So that's something they can walk around.
It's very playful.
Right.
Yeah.
So they can walk around and, you know, whatever I can do to have them remember me and quote me, that's a good thing. So.
What do you want them to quote from you?
Mainly, you know, just focus on, you know, I focus on putting out good music. Just because I flip those titles around a lot. Just look behind the titles and see what I'm really talking about. Like, I'm not just talking about Hennessy, let's go get drunk and woohoo or whatever, you know. But really, you know, I was talking about coming together as family and friends and the people that you care about. So that's what I really want them to see in that song. So.
What about other songs? Like, do you have an overall message, you think, for kids or youth that would be listening to your music?
Yeah, I would say I do. And that message is just to be yourself. Put out the music. If you're into putting out music, put out the music that you want to put out and, you know, make it worthwhile because if you're not really saying anything, you can't expect anybody to listen. So
what's worthwhile to you? What kind of songs do you listen to and what do you get inspired from?
I listen to a little bit of everything. I listen, you know, from rap to hip hop to alternative to jazz. Like today I was listening to Coldplay. I like them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to a little bit of everything, gospel, inspirational type music, spiritual, anything that's meaningful and has some meaningful words in it, you know, can kind of move me and touch the heart, you know, so I love that type of music.
I think we're about ready for you to touch the heart. You're going to play some songs for us today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What, can you tell me the names of them?
I'm going to do a song, it's called Welcome to My House. And I'm also going to do the song Mary that you like.
I love that song. I'm so glad you're going to do that one.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about Welcome to Your House.
Welcome to My House is a new song.
Or My House, sorry.
Actually, I'm just talking to a female. I'm actually welcoming her to my house. Saying, just relax. I'm going to cook you dinner and take your shoes off, let your hair down, watch a movie.
Romantic song.
That type of stuff, you know. No pressure. I know you had a long day and da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
The perfect man, everyone. Who doesn't like to come home and get that feeling?
You know?
Yeah.
I'm married. It's about my grandmother, who passed away a couple of years ago. Again, it's just a song about her celebrating her life and all the memories that I have of her and all the times we share together.
Well,
and I actually have my cousin. She's going to sing the chorus for me.
Excellent. Jessica?
Jessica.
Jessica's going to sing the chorus of Mary for us?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
It's her grandmother, too. So.
Oh, that's very touching.
Yeah.
I'm glad you could be here. All right. Well, I'll let you get to it.
Okay.
And it's raining. You think it's going to be all right?
Yeah, we'll be fine.
All righty.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Freddie Jackson.
Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. 1, 2. How y'all feeling out there? Everybody enjoying themselves today? Well, like I said, this song is called Welcome to My House. I'm actually talking to a young lady and I'm saying I'm welcoming her to my house, asking her to come in, take her shoes off, let her hair down, relax. I'm gonna cook dinner for her and all that sweet stuff that we should do. So y'all check this out. Yeah. To my house, Marvin Gaye zone. 20 minutes later, lingerie's on. But we ain't in no rush, ain't no need to hurry. We some grown folks, ain't no need to worry. Cause this morning, yes, I text you. And during my lunch, baby, yes, I text you. Now here you are, come here, let me touch you. Give me a hug, kiss and caress you. And tell me about your day and all the stress it caused. And tomorrow you say you're thinking about calling off. But you can't do it, cause you's a go-getter. Your job needs you, girl, you a trendsetter. That's why I love you, because your heart is big. That's why you in my house, that's why you in my crib. With you I share this, relax and take your coat off. Sit and take a load off. So welcome to my house, it's the house of love. I got everything that you looking for. Come into my house and get comfortable. Girl, you my family, call us Huxtables. Welcome to my house, it's the house of love. I got everything that you looking for. So come into my house and get comfortable. Girl,
right.
You my family, call us Huxtables. Now it's a nice vibe, shared intuition. You know I cooked the meal, so she did my dishes. And now we pouring drinks, I'm sipping Henny Black. She sipping Riesling and sitting on my lap. We all over the sofa, from the back I hold. We fit so good and fit so close, it's like a gun in a holster. And that's the way that I console her. Tell me what she want, love mama, be's my coach. And I'm the hostess, treat you like a queen. You're more than a guest when you're chilling here with me. Hospitality, you know I'm southern. I treat you like my mama, sisters and my cousins. So put your feet up and let me massage you. At ease, baby, I'm your sergeant. You in my jungle now, I'ma be your Tarzan. 300, protect you like a Spartan. So welcome to my house, it's the house of love. I got everything that you looking for. Come into my house and get comfortable. Girl, you my family, call us Huxtables. Welcome to my house,
y'all used
it's
to watch
the house of love. I got everything that you looking for. Come into my house and get comfortable. Girl, you my family, call us Huxtables.
Come into my house, take your shoes off, baby. And you can leave it up to me to take the edge off. Check it out.
Living like the Huxtables, I be your Heathcliff. You be my Claire, baby, Huxtable remix. And you can do what you wish, do what you may. You see, it's all on me, your tab's paid. So when you walking through my door, you know that's no stress. And when you leaving out my door, you'll be fully blessed. Between these four walls, you can do your best. No 22, mama, it's the real catch. So come on in, it's been a long day. I see you packed your bag, I guess you wanna stay. Just put your bag down and thin your hair. I see your smile, you know you're in the best of care. So welcome to my house, it's the house of love. I got everything that you're looking for. Come into my house and get comfortable. Girl, you my family, call us Huxtable. So welcome to my house, it's the house of love. I got everything that you looking for. So come into my house and get comfortable. Girl, you my family, call us Huxtable. Welcome to my house. This song right here is called Mary. I need some help with this one.
Jessica. Been heavy on my heart.
Yes, real heavy on my heart.
All the things you meant to me,
all the things you meant,
everything you meant to us.
Let's go.
All the values,
all the values.
I mean, it's priceless.
All the lessons, it's priceless, you know.
So this right here,
this right here, grandma,
it's just a small token,
it's just a very
small appreciation of how I love you.
Let's go.
And I know I can't see your face, but I know you're in a better place. But it's all good, you see, cause we're all in this family.
And I know I can't see your face, but I know you're in a better place.
But it's all good, you see, cause we're all in this family.
I can't forget the times, I remember everything, I can't forget the lines she gave me every single day, grandma. She called me up to change the light bulbs. I was sprinting up the street just to change the light bulbs. Came through the door, a lot of kisses, a lot of hugs. And on the stove, y'all, was a whole lot of grub. She would look at me and say, boy, you're getting tall. And everywhere you go, you always bouncing that ball. Help you wash the car, help you with the groceries. Little did I know all the things she was teaching me. Showed me how to live, showed me how to give, showed me how to feel, and always kept it real. Mary, Mary.
And I know I can't see your face, but I know you're in a better place. But it's all good, you see, cause we're all in this family. And I know I can't see your face, but I know you're in a better place. But it's all good, you see, cause we're all in this family.
I always had a song, you always had a place for us deep in your heart. It's amazing how the whole family looked to you. Children, grandchildren, great greats looked up to you, but now you're gone. A lot of things change, church ain't the same, cooking out ain't the same, and 727 LA ain't the same. Can't wait to get home, put some flowers on your grave. This here is just to celebrate your life and how you just gave love with all of your might. Sunrise, July 3rd, 29, sunset, May 24th, 09. Mary, Mary.
And I know I can't see your face, but I know you're in a better place. But it's all good, you see, cause we're all in this family. And I know I can't see your face, but I know you're in a better place. But it's all good, you see, cause we're all in this family.
Thank y'all.
Thank you, Jackson. Thank you, Bernie. I don't know how we're going to follow that. Oh, yeah, with the seeds. They're coming up in just a little bit. We've got Steve Noland here. I know he didn't expect this, but Steve Noland won a contest on my podcast a couple of months ago. And I'd like to introduce him right now as the next voiceover star. Come on up, Steve. Oh, yeah, you're coming up. Steve was part of a six-week contest in which he had to compete with other people. Well, how about you do it?
What do you want me to do?
I put it together. You tell them what you did.
Actually, I was pressed into it by my lovely wife, who pretty much challenged me to join this voiceover contest that Wendy was having that she found on Facebook, I believe, your Facebook
Possibly,
page?
Yeah.
Twitter, maybe?
Yeah.
And I said I didn't want to do it, and whined a little bit, and she threw her hands up in the air and said, fine, be that way, and stormed out of the house to go to work. So that night I made a short little recording, and I emailed it to Wendy, and lo and behold, I was one of the five finalists. And
yeah. One of five finalists, we had to narrow it down to five, and every week there was a new contest. Each of the voice contestants had to do a radio spot. There was a cartoon spot that you had to do, and you liked the textbook.
I liked the textbook.
The scientific reading. I remember that.
That was the most boring thing I've ever seen, and now I just want to know more about it.
Heliocentrism, wasn't it?
Heliocentrism,
yes.
Exactly.
I remember that. All right, well, I would love it to introduce the seeds. Are you willing to do that?
I'd be happy to.
All right. I've invited Drew Lawrence here. He, last year, went on
September.
A journey, 29 until 29, in which he took advantage of JetBlue's special, and that you could go for just over $600, you could travel anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere JetBlue flew from September 7th till October 6th for $700, you could fly however many stops, wherever you wanted to go, that JetBlue flew for that entire month, just for one flat fare.
But you took advantage of this in a really unique way. Most people would say, okay, I'm going to travel to, you can go anywhere in the United States, right?
And the Caribbean.
Or in the Caribbean?
Yep, any place JetBlue flies.
And so most people would probably take it upon themselves to go somewhere tropical or vacation bound or something like that, you know, vacation worthy, I should say. But you did something different and very special with your trip.
Yeah, I found out about the contest on Twitter on a Tuesday. Not even the contest, the promotion. And thought, man, that'd be really cool. For only $700, I could go and catch up with some folks across the country that I haven't seen in a while. I'm a big UVA fan. I wanted to go out to the UVA-USC game in L.A. Mm-hmm. Figure I'd catch up with some friends in Chicago. And that would pay for the trip. And that night, I was thinking about it and thinking about, man, how could I really do something more with this? This is an incredible opportunity, and I almost feel like I'm wasting it if I just take two vacations. And so I lost my mom to brain cancer when I was a first year at UVA, and that had a very significant impact on me and really played a huge part in defining who I am today. And I know that there are tons of great cancer organizations out there and fundraisers and marathons and things to do, but there are so many things that people can do even if they can't participate in something like that.
Are you talking about if they can't participate in, like, we've got the women's 4-miler coming up, or if they just don't have the money to put forth?
Both. You know, okay. Whether or not it be, I'm just so busy in my life, I can't necessarily do that, or I don't have the financial means to give, or I still want to make a difference. And what I realized was that, and I'd be willing to bet if we pull everyone here at the market, that everyone here knows someone that's been affected by cancer.
Yes.
And the fact is, that's a common bond that everyone under this pavilion is going to have in common, and that's a pretty cruddy way for us to all know each other.
It is.
And my goal was to travel and just have simple conversations with people and find out what their cancer connection was and turn that negative into a positive by creating a positive experience about it.
And so 29 until 29.
Yeah, I turned 29 on the last day. I was traveling for 29 days, so 29 days until 29 came about, and by the time all was said and done, I'd flown 35,989 miles on 34 different flights, 8 cross-country legs, 4 red eyes, and 7 nights spent in various airports in that month.
Oh my goodness, I cannot believe you did so much traveling. But it sounds like it was ultimately worth it.
It was incredibly worth it.
I went online.
Okay.
And I looked at your website, 29 until 29, and I couldn't help looking at all the pictures you have of your mom.
Uh-huh.
I followed the pictures through the years, and I saw how gorgeous she is.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And how well cared for. She was with a lot of dignitary-type people, but also she just looked like she cared a lot about her appearance.
Yes and no. I don't want to say yes and then have that come across as shallow or superficial.
No, not in that way. I felt like, wow, this woman really takes care of herself. I mean, you could tell that by how she dressed and how she presented herself. Her hair was beautiful.
Thank you. It was really important. I wish I had that hair. It was really important to her that first impressions meant a lot. And the first 30 seconds to a minute that you interact with someone, everything from your handshake to your eye contact to the words that you say, leave a lasting impression. And part of that was being well kept and really dressing the part. And her part was a pretty high-level political operative in various circles inside the Beltway in D.C. and working in the White House and working in Capitol Hill. And so that was part of the role.
I did see some pictures of her with ex-presidents. What type of role did she have in the Beltway?
That depends on who you ask. Mom was born and raised in Long Island, in Rockaway, up in New York, and came to D.C. Initially to work in President Nixon's office as an administrative aide.
Okay.
From there, it escalated all the way through to the Reagan administration, where she was the Undersecretary of Agriculture. First woman to ever reach that position and got confirmed, went through confirmation hearings on Capitol Hill.
Mm-hmm.
She worked at the Department of Commerce under the first President Bush. And by time all was said and done, she'd worked for 5 different presidents, a couple congressmen, and a governor.
Something tells me she has to have a gift for people and business.
Correct. And I think that's one of the things, that's clearly where she excelled. You know, she did not have a college education.
She didn't.
She did not. And she later ended up with an MBA from Harvard without an undergrad degree, which I'm not really quite sure how she pulled off, and wish I could find a way to make that happen. It would make things a little bit easier. But her, it was really about connecting with people and finding out what their motives were and how to best appeal to them and meet their needs. And I'm very fortunate that I feel that I've inherited that part of her personality.
Well, thank you for sharing it with us today.
No, thank you for having me.
Well, of course. I could not have you here today. After reading about you last year, I'd wanted to have you on a show of some kind. So you've been in my thoughts for quite a long time, and it's just, you know, taking a while to manifest.
That really has been one of the goals of the trip, was to really leave that lasting impression with people that it's a simple conversation that you can have with the person standing next to you, even if you've never met them, that there's most likely a chance you share a bond that's negative, and there's no reason not to acknowledge that for what it is and say, hey, that's not how I want to be connected with you.
Right.
I want to turn that into something positive. So what I did was, a lot of it was sporting events and concerts, you know, listening to music, because it automatically opens the door to have a conversation with a stranger. If I walked into 7-Eleven and the guy in front of me in line, I tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, do you know someone with cancer? He's probably going to, I'm interfering with his social space. But if I go to a sporting event or a musical event, then you inherently let your guard down because you assume the people around you have something in common with you, and that's a safer environment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to go to a UVA football game, it's safe to assume that in the line for the concession stand, that person is a UVA football fan, or a football fan in general if they happen to be rooting for the other team.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can immediately open up a conversation with that and establish that common element, and then build from that on the conversation.
Now, do you think that your mom was conversational with just about anybody, too?
There's no question. Almost to the point where it was kind of creepy. Mom, why are you talking to that person? Let's go. And so she would stop and talk to anybody. And my dad's the same way. And I'm very fortunate that I've inherited that.
Yeah, and I think my daughter has the same mother. She often complains when I'm standing in grocery lines or anywhere else. Like,
you know, there's every person's favorite word is their own name. Everyone loves to hear their name. It's theirs. It's their identity. And
Drew.
So it's real. Thank you. Wendy. It just sounds great. And so when you're in line at the grocery store, you're at 7-Eleven, people have name tags. Call them by their names. Say hello. Say thank you. You know, they've got a job and they have a family and they have issues and problems just like all the rest of us do, no matter where they are in life, whether that be working at a grocery store or president of the United States. They put their pants on one leg at a time like the rest of us do, and
yeah,
they have the same issues.
I need to take you back to when your mom was dealing with cancer. Well, your whole family was dealing with cancer, and how that must have been for you to be positive in a time like that.
At the time, I wasn't.
Do you force yourself to be positive? What do you do?
Well, 10 years ago, I wasn't positive about it. I was incredibly negative about it. I was incredibly angry.
Were you angry at your mom, or who were you angry at?
I wasn't angry at her. I was angry at the doctors. I was angry at God. I was confused. I was only 18, and I was a senior in high school when she was diagnosed. And I saw this person who was a great person who did so much for so many other people, and why was she sick?
Mm-hmm.
Why not someone that was a horrible person? Why her?
Yeah.
And that, I wrestled with that for a long period of time.
Did you ever talk about it with her?
No, I did not, because my mentality at the time was, she's I'm not going to burden her with my worries because she's got her own. And mm-hmm. as a mom, she's going to inherently be worried about her kids. I didn't want her worrying about me. And mm-hmm. I think the fact that in hindsight, I didn't share that with her made her worry more because she knew I was feeling it. I just wasn't saying it. But
yeah,
because
moms know their kids.
Right. So yeah. at the time, I didn't say anything. And it took me a while to come to grips with that. But now I'm able to look back and hopefully take those lessons and be able to talk to other people about it because while there's a lot of focus paid to the patient and whoever it is that is sick, there needs to be a large focus put on the family members and friends of that person, the caregivers of that person, that they have the opportunity to talk about their feelings and their emotions so that they can better help the person that is sick.
And an outreach like yours opens up areas where there weren't any opportunities to talk with other people. So I'd like to get into that when we come back.
All right, sounds good.
On the Wendy Edwards Show on Charlottesville Podcasting Network and WendyEdwards.com. All right, we're going to let the Seeds do one of their songs, then we'll be back with Drew Lawrence on the Wendy Edwards Show.
How's it going, everybody? We're the Seeds.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Wendy. Don't forget, everybody, there are raffle tickets available for the Bateau Festival next Wednesday.
Please see Nikki if you want to come back for the Bateau Festival. It's on June 22nd here in Scottsville over at Canal Basin Square. Right now we are podcasting live from the Scottsville Farmers Market. The seeds just hanging in there with the riffraff, and they'll be back on the podcast in just a little bit. Right now I am with Drew Lawrence from Crozet.
No, I'm actually from Charlottesville.
Oh, from Charlottesville.
I'm in Charlottesville.
From Charlottesville, who volunteers in Crozet.
Nope, volunteer in Charlottesville. I'm heading out to...
Well, then I'm confused.
I know. It's
why
been
do you need to be
day.
In Crozet, Drew?
I have to be in Crozet for a work meeting that I have at 7 o'clock.
I see. Okay, yeah. Never mind. We're just going to erase all that or just pretend we didn't hear it.
That's fine.
Okay. So I'm excited about what you're doing. I know that you try to make it easy for people to talk about cancer. Mm-hmm. To open their hearts and open their minds and be a little bit more positive while they're going through some pretty terrible times. I realize that you would like to see more support for family members and people who are in basically the support network of the person going through cancer.
Correct.
How do you think you can go about that? I know you went on this trip with 29 Until 29 and you started a journey there, but I have a feeling that this is not the end of your work.
It's not. You know, at some point... Unfortunately, the reality struck that I've got bills to pay. So I had to stop doing the whole on the road all the time thing and got back to reality a little bit. But so things have slowed down a little bit since my return. But the message is still the same, and that is simply have a conversation and say hello. It really can be something that simple, and it transcends just talking about cancer. It really can apply to any of the problems we have in our lives, or having a bad day at the office, or something's just not going right, or you don't even feel well. And so from the cancer standpoint, the real impact has been giving people a portal to kind of open their hearts. And not, you know, what I found and what I experienced myself when my mom was sick, and what I found when I was traveling and talking to people, is that a lot of people feel the same way that I felt, which was, I don't want to open up and talk about this because I don't want to burden other people. I don't want to burden my friends. I don't want to burden my network. And now I'm able to relate to that because I did the same thing, but
right.
I can also look back and say, hey, I've been there. I know how that feels. But at the same time, if we share it, if we make ourselves a community and talk about that, it makes the burden less for all of us and allows us all to feel that we're not alone, that our experiences, while each one is somewhat unique, the feelings that we have are universal, and that you have this worldwide network now, courtesy of Twitter and Facebook and other social media tools, that no matter where you live, you can connect with somebody who's been through a similar experience.
Yeah, or just can relate to you in that way because they've been through an experience at
Correct.
All.
Yep.
For someone who's not really comfortable just talking to people, how would you approach someone and just start saying, you know, hey, let's connect about cancer? I mean, like you said, you can't just walk up in a grocery store line, but build a scenario for me so that I can understand how you approach these conversations.
It was really situational because the people that knew what I was doing and knew about my trip obviously knew what my, I don't want to call it an agenda because I really tried to just go with the flow, but knew why I was traveling.
Right.
But there were a lot of people that I came across that didn't know me. They had no clue. And the best example I can think of for that was when I was in Burlington, Vermont. And for those of you that haven't been to Burlington, their downtown area is very similar to the downtown mall part of Charlottesville. There's a brick pedestrian mall with stores and shops, and it's a very green city, lots of walking and biking and things like that. And it's right on the shore of Lake Champlain. I'd never been there before. I was there for 8 hours that day, and I had one carry-on bag for the entire month I was traveling. It was a backpack that I had. And so I'm walking, just kind of taking a stroll down by the lake. I was feeling kind of down and out. I was feeling a little lonely and wondering what I was doing a month away from home and taking all these risks. And
Is it really worth it? All those
thoughts. Yeah, going through all those thoughts, yeah. and then having the strength of knowing that it's only a month and I've been through worse. And so I was walking on the sidewalk there, bike path, and there was a gentleman that looked to be about my age, a little bit shorter, appeared to be homeless or traveling or something, and wasn't really sure. And he walked past me, and he stopped me, and he said, "Can I have a dollar?" and I was kind of in a bad mood. And so I kind of stopped and looked up at him, and my first instinct was to be rude, which wasn't really cool, and I kind of had to remember that's not what you're doing here. And so I ended up saying, well, what do you want the dollar for? And he said, well, I'm kind of hungry, and there's that hot dog stand right there, and I'm a dollar short. And I turned and I looked, sure enough, there was a little hot dog stand, and I said, oh, I'll make you a deal. I'll buy you a hot dog if you answer a question for me. At this point, I was being a little bit of a smart aleck. It was just kind of the mood I was
in. I was going to say, wow, that takes some nerve.
And he looks at me and kind of like, what? And then I said, I'm serious. I will buy you a hot dog, all $2.50 of it, instead of just the dollar you need, if you'll answer one question. It's a yes or no question. He looks at me and says, fine, what's the question? And I say, have you ever been affected by cancer? You or someone you know with cancer? And he recoils a little bit. I mean, that's a pretty personal, intimate question to ask somebody. It's not, you don't go around doing that. And he recoiled a little bit. He said, why do you care? And so I said, why I cared.
Why do you care?
I care because it's an incredibly personal experience that changes people. You know, you run a red light, you still go home, big deal. You have a really good meal, you go home. You go to a sporting event, you go home.
So every time you go through certain events that are just sort of like routine in life, you're not changing. You're not evolving. You're not learning. You're just sort of going through the motions.
You're just kind of going through the motions.
You're affected for a short time. Say you do go through a red light. I know I'm like, you know, panicking when I went through a red light. But
it's gone 3 minutes later.
Yeah, 3 minutes later.
And you go through, like you go through the experience of a family member or friend going through cancer, or even yourself. And that's life-changing.
Mm.
And I explained that to him, and he looked at me, and he said, yeah, well, yes. Fair enough. You know, if he was just going to stop at yes, that was the deal. He said yes. I said, all right, let's go get a hot dog. So we go to the hot dog stand. I buy him a hot dog and a soda, and I say, here you go. And as I start to walk away, he said, that's it? You don't want to know anything else? And I said, well, the deal was a yes or no question, and I'm not going to renege on the deal.
Yeah.
He said, well, do you want to know who it was? I said, I don't know. Do you want to share? And he said, well, yeah, it was my mom.
Hmm.
And that led to a 2.5 hour long conversation sitting on a picnic bench right there next to Lake Champlain with a guy who, for all intents and purposes, was homeless, just talking about our experience and what it felt like. And here's a guy that on a normal day, had I not been on this trip, I would have not given 5 seconds of my time. I'm ashamed to admit that. That's not something I'm proud of. But every day we go someplace, or you go to the corner, you go to the downtown mall, or you go someplace and you see those people.
You have that judgment.
You have that snap judgment. And that's so not right from a human standpoint. But we do all do it. We are guilty of that. But each one of those people has a story. Each one of those people has issues and problems just like the rest of us.
Right.
And
it's tough to remember that sometimes.
It is. It's really tough to remember that. And it's tough for them to look at it, you know, our way. And mm-hmm. So it's a large part of building a community that we all have a fundamental connection, and that is we are all people. And that we share that, that's different from any other organism or species or anything, that we have the ability to cognitively understand that. And so that was a huge, huge motivator for the rest of my trip that got me through that day. It got me to realize, hey, I can do this. You know, it can always be worse. And this is actually pretty cool. This is a lot of fun. This isn't a bad thing.
How would you say cancer changed your life? You were talking about how going through a stoplight doesn't affect you after a while. You know, you get that initial panic, and maybe for the next couple of days you're very careful about stopping at the yellow. But after that, it sort of wears off and you're back to your normal patterns. But like you mentioned, when you go through cancer, whether it's yourself or someone else, it's life-changing. I'd like to know, what has that changed in Drew Lawrence?
For me, you know, I lost my mom when I was a first year at UVA. And the short-term effect was there was mostly negative, which was being inherently skeptical, being inherently doubting, questioning things, not accepting things, which is healthy. Everyone's going to go through that. But what it quickly turned into was when I saw my peers or my friends or my other members of my family getting all worked up about something. You know, in college it was a big test or a paper, or some social situation with some girl who won't return my phone call, or something like that, and I'm able to look at it and say, you need to trust me on this, not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
In the grand scheme of life, this doesn't really matter. 5 years from now, no one's going to care if you got a C or a B on that paper.
5 years from now, what will people care about?
When all is said and done, the only thing that you have left after you leave is your name and your relationships. You can have the greatest resume in the world. You can be the richest man in the world. You can have buildings that named after you. But your integrity, your loyalty, and your honor are all that last. And if you don't treat people right, if you don't treat people with respect, and if you don't have strong personal relationships, the rest of it fades away. And that really ties into talking to people about their experiences and getting to know people and finding those common connections, because you can make a larger impact through a relationship with somebody than you can by writing a check.
For quite a long time.
For a very long time.
Like you said, it can be a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate your sharing your thoughts and your feelings with me.
I hope,
and your
kindness. Some people can take some from it and know that they're not alone out there. If they have those feelings, that there are people that have been through the same thing or similar situations, and that it's okay to talk about it. It's important to talk about it. It's healthy to talk about it. And if you don't want to talk about it, if you're not yet comfortable opening up about that, write about it. Blog about it anonymously. You know, we're in a day and age where you can protect your anonymity and still put out your feelings out there. And it's important to do that because it's incredibly therapeutic. And you're also not only helping yourself, you're helping other people. When I left on my trip, it was about me. For me, it was going to be a cathartic experience and a healing experience for me.
And it turned into something completely different, didn't
exactly.
it? Exactly. Yeah. All right, Drew Lawrence, how do people get in touch with you if they'd like to learn more about your project that you're putting together now, or just want to read up on what you did last year?
The best way to get me is probably on Twitter. It's at Drew Lawrence, all one word, DrewLawrence. You can also visit the website, which was 29daysuntil29.com. It is stagnant since the end of my trip. I've left it that way on purpose. As you mentioned, I am working on some stuff that's up my sleeve that hopefully we can come back and share about as we get closer and I start to get more of the details hammered out.
Excellent. And would you mind sharing an email address for people that don't use Twitter?
No, not at all. Email address is Drew Lawrence. Again, it's DrewLawrence at me.com, me.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much,
Thank
Drew.
You so much. I appreciate it.
Great to meet you.
You too.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Scottsville's favorite rock band, The Seeds, on The Wendy Edwards Show.
Thanks, Wendy. It's a song that we just wrote. It's called It's Okay. Feel I have the right to spit good sights, and I feel that you next to me. We'll be right back.
Wendy Edwards, Wendy Edwards, we are podcasting live. This will be up on WendyEdwards.com and the Charlottesville Podcasting Network a little bit later this week. So we're going to bring Freddie Jackson back to talk with us for just a couple of minutes. We want to learn about his new CD. Oh, you brought goodies with you.
Yeah, I brought some goodies.
What did you bring?
I brought some CDs and a couple of free t-shirts.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Well, is this your new CD, Freddie?
Yes, this is my latest release here. It's titled Music, Money, Love, Hustle.
Oh, that one I know. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. the CD. I know. It's excellent.
Thank you.
And you performed some of the songs from that CD today.
Actually, all the songs I performed earlier. Well, the Mary song is from this CD.
Okay.
And the song that I'm about to do is from this CD.
Okay, now if anybody wants to purchase your CD here at the market, how much is it today?
Actually, I just give them out and I just ask for a donation. It could be $1, it could be $2, it could be 50 cents.
Wow.
Whatever.
Okay.
I just want them.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
That's what this stack is for here. It's for
generosity.
Donation. And for the hometown people. So.
Thank you so much. Awesome. All right. Well, I know that there are going to be people who want to share your music with their friends, so let's hear where they can find Freddie Jackson online.
You just go to my website, www.freddiejackson. That's F-R-E-D-D-Y with a hyphen sign, Jackson.com. That's Freddie with a Y, hyphen sign, Jackson.com. It's actually my birthday week.
Did everybody hear that Freddie said that this is his birthday week? So, So could I possibly get some help singing Happy Birthday to Freddie?
Yeah.
Are you in? All right, let's do it. On the count of three. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, dear Freddie. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Now, tell me who in the world would ever be on a podcast at a farmer's market getting happy birthday sung to them?
I guess I'm the luckiest guy in the world.
All right. Now you can say you've done it all.
I've done it all. I'm going to retire next week.
All right. Can we hear one more from you before you go?
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right. And I've got Freddie's CDs up here for the taking. He's just requesting a donation.
Or whatever.
Whatever you want to give. Come on up for Music, Money, Love, Hustle, and a free t-shirt. This is Wendy Edwards on The Wendy Edwards Show. And
right.
Freddie Jackson is
Thank
next.
You.
Okay, everybody, this song that I'm going to do is titled Still Amazing. It's about just remaining amazing through all the life problems and obstacles and whatever you do, you just have to hold your head up high and keep moving forward. So that's what this song is about. It's called Still Amazing. Still Amazing. There we go. Yeah, it goes. Tears in my eyes, but yet I'm still amazing. Struggle never stops, but yet I'm still amazing. So heavy on my heart, but yet I'm still amazing.
Get two mics for this one.
Lost, but yet I'm still amazing.
Let's go. Come on.
I'm all by myself, but yet I'm still amazing. There's nobody left, but yet I'm still amazing. My life's a hot mess, but yet I'm still amazing.
world, I guess the depths of my struggle determines the height of my success. And facing all this trouble, but somehow I'm still blessed. And somehow I'm still cursed. I still keep the verse and give y'all my life before I'm laid in a hearse. I know you hear me, I know you feel me, I know you see my struggles. And though I'm getting all this pain, I know you still love me. And all the hating, yeah, y'all, you gotta rise above it. This motivation, I guess, is why I get so much chubby. Thinking nothing of it, the wind beneath my wings. Just get the hell up out my way and watch me do my thing. The fat lady sings, the curtain spreads its wings. My life is on the stage, I let my heart sing. Tears in my eyes, but yet I'm still amazed. And the struggle never stops, but yet I'm still amazed. And so heavy on my heart, but yet I'm still amazed. And I'm feeling kinda lost, but yet I'm still amazing. Scottsville Farmers Market, y'all amazing. Let's go. I'm all by myself, but yet I'm still amazing. There's nobody left, but yet I'm still amazing. My life's a hot mess, but yet I'm still amazing. I hit the big cities, I guess I'm chasing payments. Lost, but I'm searching, I'm listening to Coldplay. Jay-Z, Hova, Tupac and Kells. It's like I got locked up, but music is my bell. Been through the hell, life is in a cell. But through every obstacle, I managed to excel. A hustler's fairy tale. Bottles in the air, about to go postal, but steady stacking mail. I lost a lot of homies, they dead and they gone. So I pray my cousin Nico is still holding on. Sometimes it's too sad, he just lost his dad. Bust the fire in their house, took everything they had. I'm just praying for the best, I promise I give it all. I don't need the money, let my spirit live on. The fat lady sings, the curtain spreads its wings. My life is on the stage, I let my heart sing. It goes tears in my eyes, but yet I'm still amazing. The struggle never stops, but yet I'm still amazing. So heavy on my heart, but yet I'm still amazing. I'm feeling kinda lost, but yet I'm still amazing.
Y'all can rock with me a little bit, amazing.
I'm all by myself, but yet I'm still amazing. There's nobody left, but yet I'm still amazing. My life's a hot mess, but yet I'm still amazing. Yes, but yet I'm still amazing. Yes, but yet I'm still amazing.
Yes, www.freddy-jackson.com. Y'all check me out. Anybody want a t-shirt? Want a t-shirt? You want a t-shirt? Thank you, thank you. Anybody else? I got you Saturday at the party, all right? Thank y'all for having me.
All right, the Farmer's Market goes until 7:30 this evening, but that's going to wrap it up for the Wendy Edwards Show. We got the seeds taking us out. So sorry, you have to come back, Joey Vegas. And they're going to do the hangover and take us home. You ready, Chad Willis?
Yes.
All right, cool. What's that? Figuratively speaking. So, Steve, the next voiceover star, you want to do an introduction of the seeds, and I'll take mine out. You can put yours in. All right, let's do it.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the Scottsville Farmers Market, Scottsville's own, the seeds with the hangover.
Thank you. Thank you.
who's ever come back around. Sitting at your table, think about your family. It's happening that you used to be. Parking at the drive-in, listen to it rain. I hear a voice of calling.
Just a note, you can find the Seeds at theseedswithaz.com. They are also playing the Horseshoe Bend Tap House, the 330 Club in Scottsville here every last Friday of every month. And they are going to be performing in the Scottsville Parade on the 4th of July. The one big, big plead is for you to go on Facebook and like the Seeds. And that's it for the Wendy Edwards Show. Chad and Joey, JR, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having us, Wendy.
I tried to dance, but I was playing guitar.